Morning, David Watson.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Lovely.
Got the kids off the summer.
Yeah, the kids off the police camp. Boy, you found one.
Yeah,
I heard you were on the
police camp.
Yeah, they're
wow.
Police camp. Yeah, they're excited.
Hardcore. No basketball camp.
I already done soccer camp.
My oldest daughter.
Yeah, they've done soccer camp already. They're having a good time.
This is a
duty
avoidance camp, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
up
there.
I think it depends on how many people.
Test, test, test. Test, test. Test 1, 2. All right, you can all hear me?
I know.
Anna, you give me the 10-second warning.
I think we're ready.
All right.
Computer's back there.
10-second up.
Good.
Let's call the order of the Board of Supervisors meeting. This is our formal meeting for July 24, 2014. Thank you all for being in attendance. And for those watching, we're at the Johnson County 4-H and FFA Fair. And it is quite a nice morning. We had an opportunity this morning to recognize several individuals who are on our boards and commissions. And we certainly appreciate those who are in the audience. We really, really do appreciate you volunteering and being a part of this great organization called Johnson County, Iowa. So thank you. Again, for those of you in the audience, we certainly recognize you and several others that were able to make it to the little breakfast this morning. Our first item of business is under public inquiries and reports. This is an opportunity for residents to approach the board on issues currently not on the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to come up in front of the board? If you do, come on up. And we can accommodate you on the stage, or we can accommodate you down at the bottom if you aren't able to use stairs.
She wants money.
And if you approach the Board of Supervisors, please make sure that you address your name for the auditor's office.
Hi.
Oh.
Really, hello. I'm Beth Ritter Ruback with the Crisis Center of Johnson County. And as always, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. I am holding a box full of money. It's a great way to become very popular at the Johnson County Fair. We are currently food for Thanksgiving in July, our annual community-wide food drive. I know that the county administration is having a food drive themselves right now, and lots of other businesses and churches and individuals are collecting food and donating food, and just making the point that financial gifts also are very helpful. $1 helps us purchase 4 pounds of food, so just even a $5 gift can purchase a bag of food for a family who is struggling to make ends meet and needs some help putting together some food for the table. So thank you so much for you guys' support. I really appreciate it. And do you have any questions?
Beth, just if people are watching for television, how can they help?
You can go to our website, jccrisiscenter.org. I'll say that again, jccrisiscenter.org. And you can make a donation there. One of the first things you'll see is a donate now button, so click that. Or you can clean out your pantry, buy a couple extra items from our top 10 list, which is right on our homepage, the next time you're at the grocery store, and drop them off at the Crisis Center. We're at 1121 Gilbert Court on the south side of Iowa City.
Beth, sorry. The county's Thanksgiving in July is in our county administration building. We have a giant blow-up turkey, so you can make every joke you want to make about the big turkeys in the administration building. But people can drop off food there, and if you want to give cash or checks, just make them out to the Crisis Center.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about poverty in Johnson County and how it's been changing, and food insecurity?
Absolutely. We know through an organization called Feeding America, who did a national study and have been updating it annually, that we have 18,000 people in Johnson County who aren't sure where their next meal is going to come from. And so at the Crisis Center last year, we served 12,000 individuals. So we know we are reaching a significant proportion of those people. And we're very fortunate to be working with the North Liberty Community Pantry, the Coralville Ecumenical Food Pantry, the pantry at the IC Compassion Organization, the Clear Creek Amana Pantry. We have a network, a really good, strong network in Johnson County, but we don't think that we're helping everyone. And so if we want people to know if they're out there struggling, that the Crisis Center is available to anyone in Johnson County. We are the only pantry who serves anyone with a Johnson County address. The others are limited to serving those in their city. And North Liberty also serves anyone in a city north on the north part of Johnson County. But you can access the Crisis Center once a week for supplemental food. We do all use client choice, so you can come in and select what you'd like from the food that we have available. The financial donations that we receive, we use to purchase food in bulk. Again, that's how we get 4 pounds out of a dollar. But the food that is donated is what provides variety, because when we buy soup, we buy a pallet of tomato soup. So if people donate other kinds, then we have other kinds available. And that's true for all the other pantries. But we do know we're not reaching everyone, and so even one can helps, even $1 helps, and helps all of our pantries create a stronger and healthier Johnson County when people are getting fed.
I take it you'll take money at any time?
Absolutely.
So
you don't have to only give in July either. Please continue to give all year long.
Thanks.
It's actually kind of good timing that you'd be out here today. You know, the fair is all about food production, and you're walking around eating all kinds of good food. And it's kind of an eye-opener to remember that there are people who are not able to do that. So.
Right. And that gives me the opportunity to give a special thank you to Pat Harney, who for the past couple of years has coordinated the purchase of one of the beef animals shown and at the Johnson County Fair. And then he has that processed and turned into hamburger for us. And the food pantry just so rarely has fresh meat like that. So we're very grateful to you, Pat, for doing that for us for the last few years. If Becky Reedus were here, she would remind me to tell you not to purchase Hank the Tank, who was a champion heifer a couple of years ago, and she just thinks he has too sweet of a face to be made into hamburgers. So I'm sure she would want me to remind you of that. But we're very grateful. We've gotten close to 1,000 pounds of beef now total from those purchases, and that makes a huge difference. There's lots of creative ways like Pat's to help at the food pantry. And so, I mean, feel free to give us a call, 319-351-2726, and talk through your ideas with us, and we'll help you put together something and promote it, and definitely we'll be very grateful.
Thank you for the contributions, Beth. That's really the contributors that actually make that happen, the business people and the individual contributors. So.
Yeah, it's a long list, and you can find information about that on our website because we thank them every year. So, okay, I think I'm going to walk through with the box. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.
All right.
Here,
Beth. Thank you.
Beth.
Janet. Did she just cuss?
Janet.
Beth, I was accusing you of cussing, but what you said was Janet.
I've heard that before.
All right. Again, this is
Mike Kerberry has some money out there. Go get it from him. And Dave Wilson, you know, and Josh.
You can come to every meeting if you want.
I will.
Okay. This, again, is an opportunity for residents to approach the board on issues currently not on the agenda. Anyone else wishing to do so at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to item C, which is a proclamation. Item 1C, proclaiming encouragement for autonomous vehicle testing as a public safety and economic development initiative in Johnson County. I will read the proclamation and ask for a vote. The proclamation reads as follows. Proclamation encouraging autonomous vehicle testing as a public safety and economic development initiative. Whereas the next technological transformation that will profoundly affect our lives will be the introduction of passenger and freight automobiles operating with autonomous functionality. These vehicles have the potential to one day eliminate traffic fatalities caused by human error and distraction. Furthermore, intelligent vehicles will reduce congestion, emissions, and the need for costly additions of lanes to busy roadways. And whereas the University of Iowa and its research-related endeavors, most notably the National Advanced Driving Simulator and the Public Policy Center, have been at the forefront of advancing innovations in vehicle-to-vehicle communications, sensor technology, human factors, artificial intelligence, and public policy issues critical to the success of this transformational change. And whereas many companies in our region have been successfully pioneering similar vehicle systems in the agricultural, aerospace, and related fields, and there exists a cluster of software and technology companies whose development can be encouraged by supportive communities. And whereas it is our stated goal to engage in strategic economic development initiatives that will create high-paying employment opportunities to strengthen our overall economy and provide benefit to all citizens, we realize that those communities and states that are first to embrace this life savings and transformational technological advancement will stand to gain the most potential economic benefit. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Johnson County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim that Johnson County welcomes the testing and operation of intelligent vehicles on the streets and roads over which we have jurisdiction in accordance with applicable law as a means to encourage the advancement of this technology and to create economic benefit, and will, if necessary, work collaboratively with other jurisdictions within Johnson County to address any issues that arise in order to best protect the safety of our citizens. Signed this 24th day of July 2014 in Johnson County, Iowa. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Seconded.
It's been moved by Sullivan, seconded by Reddick for approval of the proclamation. Discussion from the board? We'll have roll call, and we can hear from our presenters.
Do you want discussion now? Or?
Sure.
Okay. I was going to say it's kind of good to roll this out, I think, at the fair, because people at the fair are probably a little more familiar with the idea of autonomous vehicles because so many of our tractors have gone that way. You know, this really isn't new technology when it comes to the vehicles that drive off the road. It's really just moving that same technology to the road. And I've been amazed to see driverless tractors. I'm still amazed by it, but it already works, and so I think this is a good step.
Iowa City Area Development Group, who's about to speak, has been the leader in this and getting the various partners together. With the driving simulator in Johnson County, the potential for this for economic development is huge. I know some people kind of react negatively when they think about cars that don't have drivers, but imagine when we're testing them, it will be like a driver's training vehicle where a human will be sitting there. But I'll tell you, with everybody reading, texting, calling, changing radio stations, watching movies and everything else, I have to wonder if the computers won't be a lot better drivers than we are. I think this is a remarkable opportunity for Johnson County to be the Midwest test site for this technology. The economic development potentials of it are huge. So far, they've been testing it in areas that don't have winter like we do and don't have different surfaces like rock or chip seal that don't have the markers. Rod and I had the opportunity to spend some time with ICAD and the partners in this initiative. And they showed us some videos that we can't show you today because we're out here, but they're utterly amazing of the technology that's coming. We already know that cars can parallel park, right? I mean, that technology is out there. Well, we have technology coming where the cars will talk to each other, and they will communicate, hey, you, I'm here. And the other car will say, I acknowledge that you're there. And then they don't play bumper cars when they know each other are there. I'm really, really jazzed up about this. I think it's going to be really a huge potential for Johnson County to be on the forefront of this technology. And I'm pleased to see everybody getting on board.
I have four young drivers in my house, and it would definitely be cheaper insurance-wise to have nobody behind the wheel. So, yeah.
Any other comments at this point? Otherwise, roll call.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neusel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Motion is approved. We have some folks here to accept the proclamation. Mark, if you can introduce your group here today. Appropriately called a group.
Yes. Good morning. I'm Mark Nolte, the president of the Iowa City Area Development Group. Thank you very much. As we understand it, Johnson County just became the first jurisdiction in the nation to have such a proclamation welcoming these vehicles. So giant kudos to you for your leadership on this. Note to self, less wordy proclamations in the future, but I think I tried to get it all in there.
It's all on one page. It's small print, though.
You know, the other things that we didn't have room in that to touch on, too, is this is an area that's a leader in trucking. We've got companies like Heartland Express and CRST and Cedar Rapids. Their industry is going to be profoundly changed by this. We want them to be at the front edge of that technology so they can continue to be winners in the trucking industry. You mentioned ag. And then the insurance sector is going to change, too. I mean, to your point about young drivers. So Iowa's a hub for insurance companies. So we hope that they can roll out new products. And, you know, hopefully this will be a benefit to the whole state. But selfishly, we're trying to push this locally first. So I want to introduce the rest of our team, because this is all a team endeavor. Eric Hansen's our communications director. He's been working to push this story out to national and international media. It's starting to get picked up by trade publications. In the vehicle space, we got note yesterday that some publication picked up the Press Citizen story and is running with it. So that all starts with Eric. Kate Moreland is new to ICAT. She joined us in January, but she's our director of community relations and kind of special initiatives. And this is one of those where we're trying to bring a lot of people together and do some creative things. And she's really been at the forefront of that. And Delaine Williamson is our workforce business services director, and she's the one who makes sure that we've got the talent and that companies know how to access the right people and that they're doing the right things from an HR perspective to embrace this new technology and the people they're going to need to advance it. So I couldn't be prouder to work with these people. We've got one other member who's on vacation today, but thank you very much for your recognition, your support, for taking this idea and moving it so quickly. It's a great county to be in, and what a beautiful day for this. So. Thank you.
What do you think,
Mark? Thank you for all your work on that. Is this directly coordinated with the driving simulator at Oakdale?
That's the biggest asset that we're trying to leverage in this. But you look at what the university's done and the human factoring, all the sub technologies through the Center for Computer Aided Design. Everything's kind of feeding into this. But the driving simulator was that one big thing that gave us a real reason to say this is why it makes sense for Iowa City, Johnson County. To participate, because you're going to have to go back and retest everything now. So you've got a system where in the event that the computer is confused, it's going to alert the driver that, all right, you got to take over. I need your help. So how does that work if you're impaired, if you're tired, if you're distracted? So it's going to be, you know, a whirlwind of new research technology, you know, probably federal funding, state funding into the driving simulator. But these companies can use it too. They can implement a system, test it in the driving simulator. When they feel confident, now they'll be able to take it out, put it on the Johnson County roads, bring it back in, tweak it, keep refining it. So the driving simulator was key. Without that, we'd be hard-pressed to really make a claim why we're in this space. But because of that, we've had great reception. I was out in California last week at a conference, and everyone knows about the driving simulator, so they know where we're at on the map. And
good. Thank you.
Any other?
Mark, one thing we didn't talk about of why this makes sense to be here, the University of Iowa has a program, a division, I guess it would be called the Virtual Soldier. And the research there has not just been about military. There's a lab at the Iowa City Airport just behind us that has been doing research on airplanes, and sometimes when you hear the really loud airplane, don't cuss at it. It's actually doing a lot of research, and they've had a computerized cars since before that was cool.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of research already going on here, and it makes sense for us to parlay that into jobs. and not just develop the technology here and then let someone else make all the money from it. And so I just want to say that the Johnson County Board of Supervisors invests in Iowa City Area Development Group. I am very proud of that investment because you are not an economic development group that promotes economic development by throwing away money and just incentivizing everybody to come here. You incentivize them by saying, we're the coolest place on the planet to be. You want to be here. Your workers want to be here. That's really rare for an economic development group to embrace the quality of life like you do and the arts and culture. And I just find this type of innovation here to say, we're already home of some of this research. Why don't we figure out a way to really capitalize on this? And, you know, I've been to a couple of your trainings where you say, you know, nine ideals will fail, but the tenth works. And we can't be afraid to take risks here. And so I'm really proud of the work you're doing. I like the direction you're going. And that doesn't mean you can ask for more and more money.
No, we understand that.
But thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
But thank you for using the Johnson County taxpayers' investment so wisely. You know, it's weird for a liberal like me to talk about economic development so much, but I really like the way you do it. So thanks.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I think the thing that's cool about our team, we're all rural Iowa kids, you know, and many of us have lived other places in the country, but we chose to come back here. We have a lot of pride and a lot of passion for this area. And I think that lends some perspective. We've seen what happens in counties that aren't as thoughtful and progressive about what they're trying to do, and they're losing population. And here we are. You know, we're gaining population. Every week some list comes out that says this area is tops for something. You know, it was health this week. The Washington Post said I was, you know, one of the healthiest states for kids. So we do our work with a lot of pride because of, you know, where we're from and where we've been and what we want to see this county do. But we can't tell you enough how much we appreciate your support. So thank you.
Thank you.
Picture. Did we vote?
Yeah.
Did we? I don't remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Who wants to go this way?
We'll come out there.
All right. We should probably let Eric arrange this.
Yeah, Eric's next. Champ. You arrange us, Eric, the way you want us.
Important people in the back, no. that's good. Marco's in the back.
We have height issues.
Terrence and I have to go out front.
Yes. Tell Terrence, Eric,
well,
Delaney in the
Mark
front.
Here to get it. Mark, you need to get in the population.
Come on up. All right. We're okay. Let's go. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
So much. Thank you.
Thanks for all your work. How high did you get in the
big
top?
96.
Really?
Thank you.
John
did the eight.
I was gonna say, ended up I think at 12 and a half.
All right, let's continue on. We'll move on to item D under general business. We have item D1, claims.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Reddick, second by Sullivan for approval. Additional discussion. Roll call.
Usual.
Aye.
Eppridge.
Aye.
Hardy.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Item 2, minutes of the July 17, 2014 formal meeting.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Etheridge, second by Sullivan for approval. Discussion. Roll call.
Eppridge.
Aye.
Hardy.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Usual. Aye. Motion is approved. Payroll authorizations.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Harney, second by Etheridge for approval. Discussion. Roll call.
Harney.
Aye.
Oh, it's on. Sorry. Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neuschel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Item E, business from the county auditor. We have licenses and permits, and we have a beer permit, a Class B new application for St. Peter Church in Cosgrove. Hannah.
This application was submitted by John Ruth, and it would become effective August 24th of this year. And all the paperwork is in order.
I move the permit for St. Peter's Church.
Second.
Moved by Sullivan, second by Harney for approval. Additional discussion?
Can we put a plug in for Cosgrove Pork Days?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, what day is that on? You got the date?
I don't, but since it becomes effective August 24th, I'm assuming.
I think that's a pretty good assumption.
Yeah, I think that might be the day.
Pork Days out at Cosgrove Institute and Cosgrove Church. It's just a lot of fun, great food, beer, obviously. And they're under reconstruction of their community building of the church. And so I think this will be the last year in the old building. They're rebuilding it and getting a lot new parking out there. And so if you don't know what the Cosgrove Institute is, please Google it. It's like an artist colony out at Cosgrove, and the church, Terrence can talk to you about Mass, but...
it's a polka Mass. I go every year. You can't miss a polka Mass. Nothing like Hallelujah with a little accordion.
So please get out and support Cosgrove Days, the big metropolis of Cosgrove.
Well done.
All right. We do have a motion and a second. Additional discussion? Roll call, please.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Hannah, any other reports?
Nothing other. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Hannah. Move to item F, office and department business. We have business from planning and zoning. We have item A, site plan review application 25199 of Mark Kothke requesting site plan review of certain property described as Lot 2, Yanski's subdivision, a subdivision of Lot 1, Donahoe subdivision. Josh.
Yes, and the board deferred this application to allow for more public comment from last week. And the applicant, Mr. Kothke, is requesting to build an 11,400 square foot mini storage facility. This project most likely will be phased. And staff is recommending approval. We just want to remind Mr. Kothke that no building permit for this structure will be granted until Yvette Street is fully constructed per the plat. And other than that, are there any questions?
Josh, and maybe I should ask Andy as well, were there any public comments received?
P&Z did not receive any public comments.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Josh Bussard? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Seconded.
Moved by Etheridge, second by Reddick. Additional comments? Roll call.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Thank you much.
Thanks, Josh. Item 2 under the Board of Supervisors. Item 2A, County Assessor recommendations regarding homestead tax credit, military exemption, and disabled veteran homestead tax credit applications. We had an opportunity last week to hear from Bill Griesel. Unless there's any further comment, I would entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Etheridge, second by Sullivan for approval. Additional discussion?
I would note that what this is the exemption made for veterans with complete disabilities. It exempts them from their property tax assessments.
I guess we should say you have to apply for this, and so just like the business tax credit or the homesteader tax credit, you have to go to for the county assessor. You can apply online. For the Iowa City assessor, you have to fill out a form and give it to them, but you have to apply. And we were given a report last week that our veterans applications for this homestead tax credit are below counties that are substantially smaller than us. So we'd urge people that to check into these tax credits. If you meet any of these qualifications, the state is actually backfilling the county, so it's okay to go get it. You're not affecting your roads here in Johnson County or anything else. So I'd urge people to get out and apply, including businesses, for the business tax credit. So.
Any other comments? Roll call.
Neugel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Item B, city assessor recommendations, similar to the county. assessor, homestead tax credit, military exemption, and disabled veteran homestead tax credit applications. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Etheridge, second by Sullivan for approval. Additional discussion? Roll call.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye. Motion is approved. Item C, capital standards process and sustainability minimum standards.
Move approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Sullivan, second by Reddick. Andy, any additional comments on that?
Josh is coming.
I think Josh might come on. Yeah. Josh, we'll bring you up just to let folks understand. We, again, a lot of discussion on this as well.
Yes, we've had a couple of work sessions, and then it was on the informal agenda last week. And essentially, this is a standard that the board is adopting to help consider options to make buildings as sustainable as possible on new capital project for Johnson County. And those are primarily going to be vertical projects buildings.
Any additional comments? Otherwise, you can go to johnson-county.com, and we'll have that up on the website to showcase another new initiative for Johnson County. So, all right. Roll call.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Motion is approved.
And on behalf of the Green Team, thank you.
All right. We just checked off another of our list of strategic priorities when it comes to sustainability and green initiatives. So. Pat ourselves on the back on that one. And Josh, you know what you have to do now. Apply for innovation awards. All right. Item D is a second amended and restated 28E agreement regarding county case management services. We had an opportunity yesterday to meet with Chris Artley. This is an initiative primarily initiated from folks at the Iowa State Association of Counties to keep up with the changing times of mental health and disability services. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Harney, second by Sullivan for approval. Additional discussion. Roll call.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Item E, certification of the FY 2013 Johnson County Cost Allocation Plan. Andy, I know we have had a chance to have the Supes look at this.
Sure. As well as Lynette Jacoby of Social Services and Chris Artley from Mental Health. This is a document that allocates costs that the county incurs providing services for various state functions or other functions, including targeted case management and Department of Human Services. And then that is the document that determines the county's reimbursement. And so it does require certification from the chair.
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Etheridge, second by Sullivan. Additional comments from the board?
I just want to comment that we talked about it yesterday, I think, in our key issues, and the county is only reimbursed 36% of the costs of Department of Human Services. So keep that in mind, that the Johnson County taxpayers are on the hook for what is completely a state program. And so one of the things we've been lobbying for is these unfunded mandates that the state take more responsibility for it. And so Department of Human Services is one of those examples where we have to provide them space, infrastructure, and whatnot, and we don't get reimbursed as much as it actually costs. And so our urban county partners in Scott and Lynn and Blackhawk, this is actually a much larger problem for them because their DHS offices have become regional offices. And even for us, it's more regional delivery of services. So, you know, it's just one of those things that the counties have inherited the cost burden here, and the state really should be picking that up.
And I was just going to add, it does also, I mean, it's a 100-page document. It's in the packet online, but it also includes costs that aren't reimbursed, such as providing space for the court services. And that's something like $400,000 a year just for maintenance and security.
Encourage people to go online and read it, especially if you can't sleep.
Roll call, please.
Redding.
Aye.
Neutral.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Move to item F, letter of support for seats. This is regarding a Ladders of Opportunity Initiative grant. It's an application for the Iowa Department of Transportation. We have our seats director, Tom Braves.
Hello. Thank you for considering this letter of support. Iowa, the DOT, Iowa.
Yeah, you're just going to, yeah, you're too tall, Tom.
Why don't you just take it out of the holder?
All right. The Iowa DOT is applying for an $18 million grant for replacement of vehicles for public transit. Not that they get all that, but there's hopes of that, and it would not replace all the old vehicles that we currently have. Most of the funding for public transit vehicles goes to the bigger cities and higher things, but we are way out of date on our vehicles. We have 7 vehicles on that list between ECI COG and Coralville that need to be replaced. We have our average age of vehicles for Johnson County seats is 7 years old, and these vehicles are supposed to be replaced after 4 years and 120,000 miles. Our average vehicle mileage is 161,000. So this would be greatly appreciated and help us keep our costs down, especially to the local governments. Again, it's federally mandated to provide this transportation, but yet we don't get the vehicles replacement as quickly as we could or should. And this would help us to get 9 of those vehicles back on the road quicker and easier and maintaining better. It also helps us with our number of vehicle breakdowns as the age grows is great. The AC and the heat during the winter and the summer makes it difficult for riders, so it's a safety issue too. So,
questions for Tom?
This is a question for Andy. I know you were having difficulty wording the letter last night, so I wanted to make the motion carefully if you still needed Tom's input.
Well, you don't have a letter in front of you yet, so it's approving a letter of support, and Tom's going to work with us today to, or maybe you've got a draft, but Tom and Andy and I will get a draft.
Okay. They're due tomorrow, which is why we're kind of in a rush to get it out.
I had 2 drafts there. Okay. For what I was going to be submitting, so you can get some ideas off of some of that.
Okay.
They asked for letters from riders, so if any of the riders out there, Harry or anybody, wants to submit one, or any of the places that support it, the advisory committee sent in a letter, any group that would support that, Task Force on Aging or anything, they're looking at some of those people sending in letters of support. So the more the better.
Well, I would make a motion that the chair sign the whatever draft this fine group comes up with and submit that to the DOT.
Seconded.
Moved by Sullivan, seconded by Redding for a letter of support. Additional comments? Roll call.
Neutral.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Redding.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Move to item G, appointments to the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee.
Who are you wanting to speak? Hannah, can you hand that to? You can come up or we can hand you
probably
the mic.
If she comes up, she can be seen that way.
Caroline, is this on item?
It's on the appointments to the Criminal Justice Commission.
Well, hold that thought for a second, okay? We'll just go through what we've decided so far.
Okay, the board discussed this yesterday at a work session. You've advertised for 2 openings for community members, and the consensus was to appoint Karen Fessler, and Diane Wurzer. The Criminal Justice Committee does not have terms. There are not dates, so they're being appointed to the committee.
And then the additional individuals that applied.
That's right. And everyone who applied, there are 4 subcommittees of the committee, and they will be invited and to contact the board office and let us know which subcommittee, if they'd be interested in serving on a subcommittee.
All right. Any questions for Andy?
I don't have a question, but I guess just a comment that I'll make is I really wish we'd have given a little more thought on this one too.
adding another person of color to this group. You know, we talk a lot about the disproportionate minority contact that we have and the disproportionate number of people of color in our jails, and we had an opportunity to make that a little more balanced today, and so I wish we would have done that. But hopefully the people who applied and weren't appointed will all choose to still participate. Let's hope that happens.
Well, I mean, we're not limited on how many people we can have on it. So if you wanted to propose that we add another citizen so that we could get more diversity, why don't we do that? I mean,
it's okay by me.
We haven't had an abundance of people showing up for these meetings, so people who are, you know, I mean, you don't want it to be 50 people, but I don't have a problem adding another person.
All right, so, but at least as far as our current appointments, we can move forward with that and obviously have a chance to revisit this issue, Andy. Let's get that back on the agenda.
Okay.
All right, comments from the public?
Well,
and Caroline, if you can introduce yourself for the auditor.
I'm Caroline Dieterle. I must say that I am quite disappointed that you did not appoint Alexei Gerdevoy to this board and commission. Alexei is someone that I serve with on the Hawkeye chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. He's a Russian immigrant whose English is excellent, and he's very intelligent, and he's studied our system very closely. He's very interested in the issues that the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee considers. He represents a large body, I think, now in Johnson County of people who are concerned about such things as the racial disparity issue and our high incarceration rate. And if you were following the campaign, the recent campaign, you know that. And he's served as the vice chair of the ACLU Hawkeye Chapter Board. He attends faithfully every time. And I think that he would have been an excellent contributor to this committee. And I am exceedingly disappointed that you did not appoint him.
Well, I'm probably speaking probably on most of the folks up here. It was a gender balance problem on the committee.
Well, I'm all for gender balance, but, you know, I modify that in the sense that I care more about what is going on in the head than what's going on in the crotch in something that is this important. So that's it for me.
Okay. I think the balance was
it was
like 13 males to four women, and we try to gender balance all of our boards and commissions.
That's what happened.
And so, and we had, I think we had 10 applicants. How many? 12 applicants.
Well, if there's no statutory limit to the number of people on this committee, then I think you should appoint Alexei, because I think that he at least would show up and he would come up with some good ideas for you if you're really interested.
Well, at a minimum, we are going to invite those folks to participate on committees too. So
yes, that's nice. That's nice. But if you're on the committee itself, you have a vote and you have a stronger voice than you do on a subcommittee.
Okay.
Yeah, so we will we'll address that and try to get a few more folks on there.
Thank you.
Yeah. If everyone's comfortable, we'll continue to allow the public to come on up.
Good morning. I'm Mike Carberry, and I serve on the Outreach Committee of the Johnson County Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee. And one of my jobs that I'm tasked with is actually to recruit people that may not agree with some of the things we've done in the past, some of the bond issues that we've put forward for the Criminal Justice Center. So I will be talking with Caroline here after the meeting and make sure that maybe we can get Alexei or some of the other people that maybe have disagreed with us in the past to see if they're interested in our current proposal for the courthouse annex and see if that meets their criteria for moving forward. And if it does, then they can work with us to pass that bond issue.
Did anyone else want to talk on this one? All right, so there is a motion to approve Karen Fessler and Diane Worcester to the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee.
I don't think we have a motion or a second yet.
Is there a motion for that?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Etheridge, second by Harney. And it sounds like we'll put this back on a work session agenda and we'll get a few more names for the committee. Additional discussion? Roll call.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye. Motion is approved. And just so folks realize, if you do go to Building B, there are schematic designs of the courthouse, and we encourage residents to take a look at those and look and give us some feedback on if you like the current design potential for the courthouse annex. We'll move to item H, letter and certificate of appreciation to Melissa Murphy for serving on the North Liberty Community Library Board of Trustees. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved by Etheridge, second by Reddick for approval. Additional discussion? Roll call.
Harney.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Neugel.
Aye.
Etheridge.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Any other business under the Board of Supervisors?
I do have other business. I wanted to thank Hannah Paul here for working for the Johnson County Auditor since you started as a student.
Yeah, I started in May 2012 after I graduated from UNI.
May 2012, and the last year she's been mainly our permanent recording secretary. And I would just say that it's been a busy year, and imagine sitting in a room with us for 7 or 8 hours. And how your life must be to have that be your job. Hannah's going to graduate school and moving to Indiana. We tried very hard to get her to go to graduate school here, but we don't have the program she wants.
That's right.
And you've also worked with the county attorney's office.
Yep, I was a volunteer in the victim witness unit. Yeah.
So your boss is out there, and I think he'll be on stage later in his costume. But thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys for being wonderful people to work with. I'll be leaving with a lot of great experiences. So, and
I'll just say as a sideline, Hannah did house sitting for extra, you know, people. And my dog spent a week with you, and she's not happy that you're moving either. And so if you have any friends that you want to recruit as house sitters, let us know.
Yeah.
But congratulations to you and your boyfriend on the move. And don't be a stranger. We expect you to come back to Johnson County when you finish.
I sure will try. Thanks.
If I can add something. This is on. If I can add something too, is we very much appreciated having you volunteer in our office, Hannah. She was a great volunteer, helped us a lot in our victim witness program, and she was good enough that even when she got the full-time job at the auditor's office, she was willing to stay on with us until we could recruit some more people to try to take over. And of course, we never found anybody as good as Hannah, but we very much appreciated your work in our office. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And good luck.
Thanks.
All right, any other business for the Board of Supervisors or other? Formal meeting is adjourned. We're going to take just a quick break. They'll do a little change on the computer and we'll get into